Well, let's jump right in here this evening as we do. Let's open to John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to read 16 through 18. John chapter 3. And also I'm going to read John 13, 34 and 35. So when you get there, say amen. I'm going to read from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And John 13 and 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I like the New Living Translation. It says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Hallelujah. Now, if you would, I'm going to continue in this lesson or lessons. And let's turn over to John 1:1, if we would. And I'm still continuing in this series of messages, The God Kind of Life. And tonight the message title is Walking in the Light of Life. Walking in the Light of Life. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, was Zoe. And the life was the light of men. And that light is eternal life. It is the nature of God. And this light is enlightened our spirit. It has allowed, when you think about that, eternal life has actually allowed us to be connected with God. We've got his very nature in us. We have the God kind of life. And when you think about that, God, what does Genesis say? We were made in his image and likeness. So we were really made to be containers of him. So that's why the earth is running around, man is running around with this void, trying to figure out what his purpose is. And he, all along, they were designed, mankind was designed to be housed with God. And until that happens, folks are just bumping around. They're trying to figure out what it is they're doing here and write books about it. What's my purpose? Well, we know what their purpose is. Get saved. And then you'll find out what your purpose is. So when we get lit with the light of God, we begin to find out what our purpose is here in this earth. But also with that, there's more than just being lit with his light, being containers of eternal life, because the Bible tells us that we have a responsibility. If Ephesians 5:8, you're very familiar. It says, for you were sometimes darkness. Well, if you're lit, sometimes darkness, if we were lit with life, which is light, if we were lit with that, we're no longer in darkness, are we? We're not in darkness. We're in the light. It says we've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. But it says in Ephesians 5:8, it says, but now are ye light in the Lord. You are light. See, there's a fire burning in you and you don't see it. There's a light burning in you and you don't see it in the natural, but you are light. That's why you can walk in a room and people can just look at you and say, there's something different about you. So this says in Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. In verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, that's fruit, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God doesn't bear fruit. Your spirit does. So it's talking about us, the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Who's that? That's us. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I like some of the modern translations because the King James is a little obscure sometimes. This says here, once you lived in the dark. This is God's Word translation. But now the Lord has filled you with light. You're filled with light. Live as children who have light. So that means walk. Live as children who have light. Light produces everything that is good, that has God's approval, and that is true. Determine, that means who? You. You determine which things please the Lord. Have nothing to do with the useless works that darkness produces. Instead, expose them for what they are. Who's supposed to do that? We are. And it says, it is shameful to talk about what some people do in secret. Light exposes the true character of everything. That means, I don't care what place you go in. A lot of people say, I don't like it working here. They ornery. They don't like me. Yeah, light exposes. And so, yeah, that's right. They don't like being exposed. They naked to what they're doing. And it's exposing some things. And this says here, light exposes the true character of everything. And the New Living Translation, I like this. It says, for though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light within produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. Don't talk about it. It says, but when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. See, and that's why sometimes we don't need to embrace it. We need to expose it. We don't need to condone it. We need to expose it. And so that means walking in the light. And sometimes Turn over to James for a second. James chapter 1. And these are familiar scripture here. James chapter 1. And look at verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own heart." Or deceiving your own selves. That'd be your heart. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway," what's the next word? "Forgetteth." Say forgetteth. Forgetteth what? Oh. You are lit with the life of God. You better not forget that. See, this says here, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," that means he doesn't forget who he was, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer," that means he remembers, you remember, "but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So we need to not forget who we are in God. And that's part of walking in the light of life. Sometimes folks forget who they are and what they have, and they start to complain about circumstances. And the question is, did you forget who you are? Did you forget who's in you? Do you forget what's living inside of you? Did you forget? And sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. We get caught up in just stuff, and we're looking at it, and we get caught up in it. I have to say, I have. You know, and you forget, you go, whoops, wait a minute. Who am I here? Wait a minute. Greater is he that's in me, not the circumstance. Greater is the one living inside me, not the circumstance that I'm faced with. And so, you know, whether it's personal or whether it's job or family, we should never forget who we are. Ever forget. And that is really what Brother Hagin said through all the years of his ministry. He said, we need to be what? God inside minded. Meaning always remembering who I am. Who am I? And so that's important to remember. And I wanted to just hook up with something this evening, and I'm just kind of gathering a direction here. Turn over to, where's I want to go? I want to go to Matthew. Just hold on a second here. Just get my place here. Just bear with me. Okay, I want to go to, it's Matthew or Luke. Both are fine. Just give me a second. Well, let me jump here first. Let's go to Luke 19. Start here. And look at verse 20, starting in verse 20. Yeah. Keep your finger there. Go to Matthew 7. Because we're going to go back to Luke 19, but let's go to Matthew 7 first. And let's look at verse 20 in Matthew 7. It says, "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock." Huh? What did I say? I said it fell. I'm sorry. "For it was founded." No, it fell not. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it fell, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Now, if you'll notice in this contrast here, both heard the word, and both had the storms of life confront them. Both had that. But there were two different outcomes, weren't there? One did what they heard, and one didn't do what they heard, and they had two different outcomes, but both heard and both were confronted with the storms of life. So really the issue is, are we doing the word? Are we going to do it, walk in it? Because the outcome, you're going to determine the outcome. See, God's going to present the word. Are we going to do the word? And we're going to determine the outcome. But now here, in the similar verse in Luke, let's go to Luke 6, and then we can jump to Luke 19, but Luke 6, and looking at 46, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and did what? He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded," or established, could be another word, "upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And you might say, why would somebody build a house on sand? I mean, anybody who does construction, that would be silly, wouldn't it? I mean, just to, no foundation, no slab, nothing. You just start putting sticks up. You get a storm, it's not going to stand. It's going down. But when you look at this, it says here, one built, one digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now, you might say, well, the rock is Jesus. Well, yes and no. Because it is true, but someone dug down deep and built something on a rock. The rock is referring to somebody who did what? Heard it and did it. That's the rock. That's the foundation. You listened to the word and you did it. That's the stability. That's the foundation. And now, jump over to Luke 19 for a second. And I think this is, we're all familiar, this is Luke 19, and this talks about those that the nobleman handed out the talents, he went away, and so when he returned, he wanted to see how his servants had done with what he gave him. But now, go down to verse 20, and it says here, and another came, saying, Lord, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee. Thou wicked servant, what is the next two words? Thou knewest. Thou knewest. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. What does it say? Thou knewest. Thou knewest. Say, thou knewest. That's a strong statement, because every single one of us know who we are in Christ. Everyone. And so, yeah, we're all at different levels of growth, but we know. And so, what it's pricking me is, for me, I can't stand before the Lord and say, well, you know, I was... He said, you knew. You knew. Why did you not reap and produce with what you had in you? Because you knew. And I said, because you knew. You can't stand before the Lord and say, yeah, but they don't like me. You know. You know who you are in Christ. You know the greater one lives in you. And you knew this life in you is greater than the opposition. We know it. And so the question becomes, are we going to step out in faith in situations where it's tough, it's hard, but you know? And see, that's why when you read that scripture over in James, it says, he like a man who looks in a mirror and walks away and forgetteth what manner of man he was. And here, he's saying, you knew. You knew who you were. You knew what you had. Don't be a forgetful person. Because really, God will run the videotape on us. And he'll remind us who we are and what we have. So there's really, you know, when we get into situations and we start to blame somebody, well, you know, my husband this, he's that, he's all, you know, Who are you? Who are you in Christ? And you want to blame your boss, and you want to blame, we all do these things. We blame, you know? But the question is, who are you? Who are you in Christ? See, you're more than that. You're bigger. You're greater. Yes, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. And just like the Holy Ghost blew in tonight, yeah, I was kicked and put down and left all alone, but I still had a praise in me. See, you didn't forget that. You didn't forget that you had a praise. See? But sometimes when it comes to walking in the love of God, well, we kind of forget how to praise through that. Because sometimes it's personal. And sometimes it's just, you know, the natural is we have to put down the flesh. And walking in the love of God, you know, when you look at it, God says, and let's jump over, because I think that's a good place to jump over to, in 1 John. Let's go over there. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him, that means us, in him is no darkness at all. So we could say, so if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and you could say walk in this life, walk in the light of this life, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if you jump down to verse 6 or 5 in the next chapter, well, let's say jump verse verse 3, in chapter 2, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So, keeping his commandment is walking in love, which is walking in the light. God is light, God is love, God is life, and we have all of that in us, and we can walk in the love of God. We can. And we can walk in this life that floods us. And it's a choice. It really is a choice and a decision. No different than you and I both made a decision to accept Jesus as our Savior. But being Lord means I'm submitting myself to what? The Word of God. That means I'm submitting to this Word whatever it says. That's it. He didn't ask us if you felt like it. He said, you are to walk in love. That's a commandment. And so for us, walking in the light is walking in the love of God. Or walking in the light of life, because there is no darkness. Even though if I walk in the love of God, then I'm walking in the light, then there's no darkness. See, darkness can cloud us when we see something and we say, I don't want to do that. I don't like that person. Well, then you're not walking, then you're going to walk in darkness, because you're going to see all the reasons why you shouldn't. And walking in the light is you see all the reasons why you should. You see all the reasons why you should. And you say, yeah, I'm gonna walk in the light. Now, I mentioned this a while back, and I'm gonna just go back over this again just for a second. And walking in the light also is walking in holiness. And one of the things, and I've mentioned this before, I stumbled on this in doing this lesson a while back, is a story, and this particular gentleman by the name of David Martin, he's a graduate of Rhema Bible Training Center. He was a graduate in 1982. And he started his ministry in 1985, called the David Martin Ministries. And you can look it up on the internet. There's all kinds of links. If you just type in Shining Ones, and you can say Anointing, and you'll see all the various links. And it's a story about an African tribe in Rwanda in the 1930s. And you can read the story. He has a live interview on the Sid Roth program. You can hear him speak and share all about that. And it's a long story. But he had someone walk into his office and wanted to meet him. And so this whole story evolved. And it's about a story of transfiguration. And when you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it talks about be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. When you look up that word transformed, it says being transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. That word transformed, when you look it up in the Greek, is metamorphou. It means metamorphosis. But if you look it up in other translations, the modern English, it's transfigured. So it's the scripture is really saying we will be transfigured by the renewing of our minds. Now think about this. Jesus, was he not transfigured? Yeah, he was. He was transfigured. Yes, he was God, but he laid aside his glory and he became as what? A man. So this was a man that was transfigured. And so this story talks about this tribe in the 1930s, and the story is that they began to shine. Literally, they began to shine, transfigured. And you can read the story, but the thrust of it was that he went to this particular area. It's a long story, not to get into that, but after he went back, he met this man in the town where this happened, and his name was Enoch. He said that was unusual, but he said he met this man who, his name was Enoch, and he was part of this group. And he said he was an older man, but he said he was up in age, but he looked very young. So he said, as he met this man, he said, and I'm going to read here, he said he was in amazingly good health. The story he told of his youth, though, was very supernatural. He said, my heart was throbbing with excitement at being in the presence of a man who had experienced a dimension of transfiguration. My spiritual quest for transfiguration had a living witness, and I was full of questions. He shared much with us, but what was most important was that the revival was not about shining at all. Shining was the byproduct or fruit of holiness. So it wasn't about shining, it was about holiness. And so he goes on and he said, Enoch said to him, there was such an overwhelming conviction of sin that people could not live with even the smallest amount of disobedience in their lives. As a result, literally every night people were coming to the altar and confessing their sins. He said the daily seeking of God, along with true repentance, brought a tangible presence of God. Over the course of time, people just started shining, or more literally, radiating the presence of God. That's what he said. And he said, interestingly as well, is that the average African lives to be about 60 years old. However, many of these tribal people live beyond 100. And this is back in the 30s, with all of the non-medicines and things that you have. Presence of God kept them. But it was an overwhelming sense of doing right, you see. And so I believe that as we grow in the Word of God, we need not forget who we are in Christ, and that the things that God pricks our heart, fix them, correct them, so that the presence of God begins to increase and increase and increase, so that there is literally no fear, no doubt, no hatred, nothing in our presence. And I'll tell you, that's an exciting thing to me. And, you know, we're all at, like I said, we're all in different places, but God is wanting us to be perfected in love. And that perfection comes by doing what? Examining, making corrections. That means if I'm not doing something that God has showed me. See, that's another thing. God is not going to hold you accountable for something that you don't know. See, what did he say? He said, I'm going to judge you, servant, because what? He knew. He knew. He's not going to judge him for something he didn't know. See, you're not accountable for something you don't know. But the minute light comes, that's why I say we got so much light in our lives that we can't even come up and go, no, forget it. You can't even go there. See, and it's choices. We just say, I'm not ready yet. Oh, so you know. So you know, but you've decided, I'm not ready yet to do that. I'm not ready to be this or that. So you're forgetting who you are because you've made a choice. Yeah, I heard it. Light came, but, you know, I'm not ready. Well, see, you know. And that means that we need to make a correction. That means we need to step up and get that out, because that's not pleasing. And So walking in the light of this life is continually reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ and taking steps of faith in areas that in the past maybe we've been hesitant to. Especially in this area, walking in love, because the love of God is what's going to prove to the world that we're His disciples. And that to me is probably the biggest area. And for us, when we are lit with the life of God, what does it say? We're no longer in darkness. So we know. We know that, yeah, I said some wrong words to somebody. They were a little short. They were a little hard. And yeah, but you know, they'll get over it. They'll deal with it. Really? Okay. So actually, you've made a choice not to humble yourself and go to that person and just say, hey, you know what? Sorry, I was a little rough there. I was a little hard right there. I shouldn't have done that. And sometimes that's a big step, but that's what's necessary if we're going to walk in the light of life, because we see. It's for sure, we do see. How many of us have seen things and we go, oh man, I didn't do too good there. But how many of us go and clean it up? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. It's the truth. And especially, I mean, you know, when you're interacting with folks, whether it's in a job, whether it's at home, between husband and wife, between children, you know, sometimes things can get a little heated. And actually, you know, when you think about this here, these scripture verses in 1 John, when it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, let me ask a question. Was Jesus ever selfish? Never. So love isn't selfish. So that means if I'm walking in the love of God, then I don't have to have my way, do I? See, if I do, then I'm selfish. I got to have my way. Then that's selfish. See? What's wrong with giving somebody else place, even if you didn't like it? Hey, let them have their way. And I'm not talking about, please don't say, we can just have my way when you come on your job. There are some boundaries and rules, and there's some boundaries and rules in public assembly where we have here. That doesn't mean we're just going to run amok. And you said we can just have our way. Really? Well, I'll tell you what. I will show you the door. Humbly. Yes, humbly. Thank you for that. I will show you the door. See, I'm a nice person. I am. But I will tell you this. When somebody, I remember when Reverend Mary Francis said this, when people don't obey rules, call the police. Because you know. And it's just flesh, and you're being ornery, and you're being disobedient. And those are the kind of things that's why you have boundaries and rules, and you go to people and talk to them. But when they still don't want to obey, sometimes you have to spank, and sometimes you have to put some measures in place. And that's not walking out of love. That is not walking out of love. But in our normal interactions during the day with things, we are to walk in love towards one another. And that is walking in the light of life. And I believe that God is one of the things that keeps stirring in me is do not forget who you are when you're in situations. Don't forget. Quick look on the inside. Because I can tell you, you think about this. People who are natural, we'll use this quick example here. People who are natural and natural-minded, and they lean towards their own, I'm going to use this, their own prowess. Right? Did they forget who they are? No, they don't. You step right over here real close and you'll find out who I am. Right? Because they say, I'm so-and-so, and if you just keep going, you're going to find out who I am. Is that not true? People in the natural who lean to their own strengths, do they not do that? Yes. They absolutely do. So why you forget who you are? Somebody pushes some buttons. Sometimes we move immediately over into the flesh and we start to do some things in the flesh. And we do what? We forget. We forget who we are. Because you're not natural, you're spirit. You're a spirit being. And that takes training. It takes discipline because you're still in this flesh. You still, people will push it and you go, get you. You know, and if you used to run in your mouth, then that's what you're going to lean to. See? And things that we haven't put down and we haven't controlled, then when things surface like that, you've got to make some choices that, you know what? I am taking control in this area. I'm going to let the love of God and the power of God rise up in me and take control. And I believe that just like a person who works at letting people know who they are in Christ, same what people do on the job. You know, they like to push buttons. They want to let people know, you know, come on, let's get it on. But we can do the same thing in the spirit. We can get it on, can't we? We sure can. We can get it on with the devil in the name of Jesus. So what the Holy Ghost told me to just remind us tonight, don't forget who you are in Christ. Forget not. Because we really don't have an excuse. We really don't. Most of us have been here for 10, 15, 20 years. So most of us know. And it's there's nothing. And the thing is that when you go to John 15, God is about us producing fruit. What does he say? He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, so that it may bring forth more fruit. So God is about us bearing fruit. And so, we're always looking to examine, to purge, and to step out and to correct those things, or to not so much correct, it could be correcting, but I'm going to move out a little further. I'm going to stretch a little more than I had before in areas that maybe I was hesitant. But I am a new creature in Christ, and I'm not in darkness. And I do know. And I'm going to walk in the light as what? He is in the light. And because of that, he cleanseth me with the blood of Jesus continually. Amen. Father, I thank you. Thank you for reminding us of our responsibilities. Thank you for reminding us of who we are in Christ. Thank you, Father, that we have your very nature in us. We have your presence residing in us. We have your very life and your very love residing in us. And there's no weapon that comes against us that love can't overcome. And I thank you, Father, that as we yield to the love of God, as we yield to the life and nature of God, it will overcome every single circumstance in our life. Love cannot be conquered. And I thank you, Father, that as we yield to the life that's in us, that we will walk brighter, brighter, and brighter, and brighter to the full dawning of the day. And I thank you, Father, that this will enlighten us and reveal to us that we do know, and that we're going to make some corrections and make some adjustments where we're embracing and working with people that may not be lovely. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.